Mais attends. Good morning, Jean-Jacques. Salut, ça va?
Bonjour, bonjour. Ça va très, très bien, Camille.
Comme d'habitude, oui. OK, quel est le... Oh, the Swati, Eswatini. C'est donc un autre problème.
Voilà. Oui, absolument, absolument. Sadly, King Mswati III has now banned all protests in the kingdom. You know, we have the school children, and one of them killed in the protests. Several, in fact, 12 people have died in protests in recent months. Yesterday, we had nurses. 30 members of the nurses' union were... broke, you know, from the body of the demonstrators. They were forced off, and while fleeing, the police fired at them. 30 were treated for injuries. 5 went for surgery for gunshot wounds. So, I mean, King Mswati is prepared to draw blood, in fact, to kill people, to hang on to power. And what we have is a SADC delegation gone there to see what they could do. The king has responded by, as I say, banning all protests there. This, I think, Revealware is a perfect example for South Africa to show regional leadership and the kind of use of the moral high ground that we once held. This is something we should do to it's not our neighbor, but the country that we completely envelop. We really should be doing something decisive, I believe.
At the same time, we're doing this quiet diplomacy that Mbeki used to do. And to be honest, the moral high ground, if you can't hold your party accountable, how do you hold another government accountable?
Well, you know, in this case, it affects us so badly and affects South Africans so badly that we should, for our own interest, and not only that, but those of the region, we should be taking more decisive action. Yes, indeed, I understand your case that, you know, there's a double standard involved. But this is what diplomacy is all about, you know. You've got to maintain stability in your region at all costs.
That's true. The sand wall that's holding back Sahrawi fighters now. We've got a similar issue, right, of occupation.
Yes, indeed. Well, this goes back to 1975. But in 1991, they signed a ceasefire or agreed on a ceasefire. But the promise then from Morocco is that they would have, within a short space of time, vote on the governance, and they know that if they did that, the Sahrawi would vote for independence straight away. So they've delayed it and delayed it. They've effectively broken their promise to the international community. Now the Sahrawi are losing patience. This berm, the sand wall is what it's called, is 2,700 kilometers long. It's the second longest wall next to the Great Wall of China, you know, and it's 60 times longer than the Berlin Wall was. I've been across it. I've been, you know, seen and on the one side of the Polisario, on the other side of the Moroccans. And now we're seeing exchanges of rocket fire and even some artillery. And it's low scale at this point, but we did have the head of the Polisario, the Sahrawi president, Brahim Ghali, saying that attacks will continue now unless the United Nations envoy gets a mandate to deliver this self-determination vote that Morocco has been promising since 1991. It's a growing situation in a part of the world, you know, where Morocco has a really, really big, massive economic problems. They can't operate and operate their own economy properly. Why would they be in occupation of the Western Sahara? We do have the International European Court ruling that contracts they made, which involved the Sahrawi property, are not valid. So, you know, the thing.